Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast. The Hidden Killers Podcast. Nima Romani is with us. He is president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers Association. And Nima, I want to get your insight into this. Being an attorney, the Brian Koberger case, where we've seen a lot of, I don't know, it feels somewhat bizarre on the outside looking in, accusations against the media and bias and this, that, just things that are normal. If it's a high profile case, one of the biggest in the country right now, people are going to speculate. So going and making charts and having media experts come in and say, look who has this influence and that influence over the discussion of this. It doesn't make any sense to me. At the end of the day, you're going to have a jury of your peers that are going to decide this case. What's the point of whining about people covering the case? What's the point of any of it? It feels very much like a distraction and pointing out things that, yeah, there's nothing you're really going to do about this or you can do about this because we have freedom of the press.
Now, on Koberger, I think the defense is trying to not just set up the case for trial, but for the inevitable appeals down the road. This is very likely going to be a death penalty case. And we know that, you know, you're more likely to win on appeal in a death penalty case than you will actually convincing 12 jurors not to return a death sentence. So they're putting up every roadblock they possibly can, especially with this judge. You know, the judge seems to be siding with the defense on any of these gray area issues. And, you know, some judges, they want to make sure they're not reversed on appeal. So, sure. You know, we saw this in Idaho with Lori Ballow. You know, the defense was successful in keeping cameras out of the courtroom. Obviously, we didn't have the gag order issue there, but I expect to see the same ruling. No cameras in the courtroom. And, you know, this gag order, which is one of the broadest I've ever seen, you know, covering obviously the parties, the attorneys, but also the victims. I think it will be upheld on appeal only because, you know, the victims are likely going to be witnesses in the penalty phase of the case. But, you know, this is good defense lawyering. It will otherwise be a tough case, I think.
Yeah, I think Ann Taylor has her work cut out for it. I think she certainly is doing a good job in a very, very difficult situation. With all of these things that have been coming up, them recently asking for that gag order not to be released, but also complaining about the coverage of this case, of rumors and speculation running rampant. Does a gag order help or hurt when the case with rumors and speculation running rampant?
Well, it hurts, you know, because right now you have the public that has very little information. The only information we have is what's been publicly filed, the search warrant affidavits, the returns, and unsealed, as well as the public statements that were issued by law enforcement before the gag order was imposed. So we thought we would get some of this information during the preliminary hearing. It was scheduled to last at least a week. But obviously when the state went to the grand jury and got an indictment, that means we're not going to know what evidence the prosecution has until, you know, opening statements start. So, you know, this is probably the biggest case in the country right now, maybe after U.S. v. Trump. Certainly the biggest case, I think, in Idaho state history. So there's going to be a lot of attention on the case. Four innocent college students were killed. And, you know, this was a case that was unsolved at least for, you know, a couple months. So I'm not surprised, and this is to be expected. You ask for a gag order, and then you're criticizing people from speculating. Well, they don't have information. So this is, you know, you get what you ask for if you're the defense and Ann Taylor.
Let me ask you this, if you can explain it a little bit better. Koberger filing court documents challenging the indictment of the grand jury in the University of Idaho student murders. When they say they're challenging the grand jury specifically in this case, what exactly are they challenging?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that certain exculpatory evidence wasn't presented to the grand jurors. You know, again, obviously the prosecution has a duty to disclose any exculpatory evidence, any evidence that may impeach a witness. You know, impeachment usually doesn't come in because normally, obviously, the rules of hearsay don't apply. I don't know, obviously, testified before the grand jury. But, you know, most of the time, the prosecution will rely on one or two law enforcement witnesses, usually not even witnesses in the case, but they'll get all sorts of hearsay evidence through that witness. That way, you're not creating a potential testimony of a testifying officer that you'll have to disclose at trial that may be inconsistent and so forth. So I don't know what potential exculpatory evidence there is. I'm just, you know, racking my brain, obviously. You know, it was a party house. I imagine there were a lot of people coming to and from this house. What's been reported is just one single source of DNA in the knife sheath. So, you know, that may be exculpatory. We know, obviously, that the cell site evidence, first, it may not have tracked the video surveillance exactly. And second, well, we know that, you know, Koberger appears to have turned his phone off or put on airplane mode, so it didn't ping off the cell site towers at the home at the time of the murders. That may be exculpatory, but, you know, it's really sort of speculation right now because, you know, the defense is asking for everything and they're saying the prosecution isn't complying with his discovery obligations and so forth. I'm not saying that's necessarily the case, but what we saw in Lori Vallow, obviously completely different case, but, you know, the state of Idaho didn't comply with its discovery obligations. And as a result, the judge took the death penalty off the table in that case. So she's probably going to get life in prison. You know, the defense has filed some post-trial motions in that case. But it's interesting because Chad Daybell is still going to trial. That's still a death penalty case. So the defense is doing everything it can to go on the offense and see if they can, you know, hit a home run and save Brian Koberger's life here.
I know the defense is asking for more time to be able to come up with the alibi for Koberger. This doesn't seem like it should be necessarily rocket science, or you need days or weeks or months to come up with an alibi if you have a legitimate alibi. Is that the case when they say we need more time for the alibi? How so? If he is innocent and had nothing to do with it, why would that not be a very easy question to answer?
Oh, it should be very easy. You know, if you were home and there's some evidence that you were home fast asleep at the time of these murders, then you should have had that weeks or months ago. You know, a lot of this, I think, is to put pressure on the judge. You know, look, the defense lawyer says, listen, I need more time. This is a death penalty case. I need another death penalty qualified lawyer. I need additional budget. I need X, Y, Z. The judge says no, and he's convicted. And guess what? You've created an appellate issue. So, I think a lot of these tactics are to really stall and put up legal roadblocks rather than things that may actually, you know, get Koberger off because he's actually innocent or he actually has an alibi. I just don't think that's the case here.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.